Asia.
Superpower tensions in Asia. The scary new map of the South China Sea. Fresh fights over reefs and shoals test America's credibility.
On August 31st, a Chinese cutter rammed the largest patrol ship of the Philippine Coast Guard, punching a hole in its side. It was the latest attempt by China to force the Teresa Magbanua to leave Sabina Shoal, where it has been stationed since April. No one was injured, but the incident is part of an emerging new pattern of escalation and confrontation in the South China Sea, particularly around the Spratly Islands. According to one account, Wang Yi, China's top diplomat, warned Jake Sullivan, America's national security adviser, that China would not accept a Philippine present at Sabina during their meeting near Beijing in August. The evidence points to a novel phase in the struggle for the South China Sea. Whether China and America can safely contain the nerve-shredding contest is far from clear. A major redrawing of the map of the South China Sea began when Xi Jinping came to power in 2012. In the subsequent 3 years, China built 7 new bases in the Spratly Islands, 3 of them with large airfields, on rocks and reefs otherwise claimed by Malaysia, the Philippines, Taiwan, and Vietnam. These bases now play a host to a large permanent presence of Chinese troops, ships, and aircraft. Before, the most elaborate structures built by any country consisted of short airfields on some islands. China has placed great rhetorical weight on its vague claim to that part of the South China Sea, i.e. nearly all of it, which falls within its 9-dash line. Sometimes the dashes move around on the maps. Occasionally, a 10th dash is added next to Taiwan. Yet, despite the vociferousness of China's claims, an uneasy status quo prevailed over the past half decade. On any given day, one or more Chinese Coast Guard ships, and anywhere between a few and a few dozen maritime militia vessels, typically large fishing vessels, have been stationed at disputed rocks and reefs throughout the sea. Until recently, their remit was limited. The vast bulk of commercial shipping activity, including container flows on some of the world's busiest sea lanes, has been unaffected. China's Coast Guard has notionally been preoccupied with preventing energy exploration and fishing within the area. Even then, enforcement has been lackluster. A ban by China on fishing in the South China Sea every summer, formerly to help replenish stocks, has not been seriously applied. The American Navy has maintained the practice of sailing past the islands on freedom of navigation operations, challenging China's claims to the area, having renewed such operations in 2015. Yet the number of such sailings has tailed off, and China has issued mainly routine objections to them. For an epicenter of a superpower contest, the South China Sea was often surprisingly placid. Compared with that, the squalls in this new phase of the confrontation threatened to become a storm. The Philippines, Vietnam, and Malaysia have begun to rebuff China more forcefully. In order to grasp this dynamic, it is important to consider the relative tension levels across the area. Calmest of all are the Paracel Islands. China has occupied them completely since seizing them from Vietnam in 1974. On the largest of the 130 islands, China has an airfield and has deployed combat aircraft there. Most tense is Scarborough Shoal, a single isolated lagoon. Its proximity to Manila, the capital of the Philippines, arguably makes it the South China Sea's most strategically important feature. Before 2012, Philippine vessels plied the lagoon's rich fisheries, and the Philippine Navy would expel Chinese vessels that tried to do the same. But that year, Chinese Coast Guard vessels forced the Philippine ships out. Brazenly, China has controlled it since. Most fraught of all are the Spratly Islands. Chinese construction of large bases from 2013 to 2016 was on reclaimed land there, and as a result, now the pushback is most vigorous there. Since 2022, Vietnam has been reclaiming land on features that it occupies. It has now built up about half as much land as China, and appears to be constructing a large airfield. The Chinese government has remained silent on this matter. Malaysia has sought cozy relations with China and tolerated its ships in its exclusive economic zone. It has also turned a blind eye to fleets carrying illegally exported Iranian oil for transfer to China-bound vessels. Even so, Malaysia depends on energy revenues and has resumed oil and gas exploration off the coast of Borneo, close to the Spratlys, in the face of Chinese objections. The biggest pushback is coming from the Philippines. Ferdinand Marcos, the president, has directed his officials to shine a spotlight on Chinese activity in the Spratlys. Of particular note has been China's mission to prevent resupply of a Philippine Navy vessel, the Sierra Madre, which was grounded in 1999 on Second Thomas Shoal. Last year, the Philippines began using Coast Guard ships to escort construction materials to the Sierra Madre. China responded, and by June 2024 had successfully blocked resupply of the ship for 3 months. The small platoon of Philippine Marines guarding her began to run out of food and water. Finally, when the Philippine Navy mounted an attempt on June 17th, Chinese coast guards armed with axes boarded the Philippine dinghies and disarmed the soldiers by force. The Philippine sailors followed orders not to fight back, but one lost a thumb. In July, China and the Philippines stepped back from a bigger confrontation, chastened at least for now. Chinese diplomats accepted a long-standing invitation from the Philippines to fly to Manila for talks. In the negotiations that followed, they agreed to provisional arrangements, which would allow regular resupply of the Sierra Madre. Under the agreement, China will inspect the resupply missions from a distance of several hundred meters to ensure that they are not bringing in construction materials. But Philippine officials say that the Sierra Madre has been stabilized with concrete and now will not float away. Elsewhere, however, tensions are growing, not least at Sabina Shoal, where Chinese ships rammed the Teresa Magbanua. Philippine officials say that they sent their ships to the shoal because they had seen signs that China was preparing to build something there. But they are playing a risky game. The Philippines had no continuous presence at the lagoon before April, so it is changing the status quo, which China abhors. America and the Philippines are treaty allies. America commits to meet the common dangers if a Philippine public vessel is attacked. But it is unclear if those guarantees apply at Sabina Shoal, as they most certainly do at St. Thomas Shoal, where Sierra Madre sits. While that ship is fixed with cement, Teresa Magbanua is afloat, and so might be removed. The narrow significance of the Sabina incident is that it could spark a military encounter at sea. China may make more aggressive attempts to bully the Philippines out of the shoal. The broad implications go far beyond a few rocks and ships, since such an encounter would test America's appetite to come to the aid of the Philippines. Risking American lives and cash over an uninhabited shoal would be unpopular in Washington. Yet, if the Philippines retreats, it is unlikely to get the shoal back. That would trigger memories of its loss of Scarborough Shoal in 2012 and prompt questions in Manila about the reliability of its bigger treaty ally. Past 2 months offer two starkly different visions of how the South China Sea will operate in the 2020s and beyond. One, based on the Sierra Madre episode, points to the sea being a contested zone where all parties are capable of de-escalating around flashpoints. The other vision can be found at Teresa Magbanua, a constantly shifting set of mini confrontations in which China seeks to enforce its will on the sea while Southeast Asian countries push back. When the repelling is carried out by formal allies, it puts America in a horrible dilemma. Does it back them up or urge them to back down? China will watch like a hawk what happens next. So will other American allies in Asia and beyond.